We've got Doc Wallach for you this hour. Record visit to the criticalhealthnews.com website. Lots of people jamming it, but it can handle it. And also the toll-free number, 1-855-949-7234 or 1-855-949-RADIO. And they are partners of ours. And, of course, you know they are sponsors of the program because this audience truly reacts to their message. So we're going to be back with more with Doc Wallach, hoping that we can all help as many of you as we can next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Doc Wallach with us, of course, from criticalhealthnews.com, and let's go right to the calls. We'll go to New York. George is with us. Hey, George, welcome to the program. George? George is not with us. Oh, well. Let's go to Paul, though, in Savannah, Georgia. Hey, Paul, we got you.
Yes, sir.
Go for it, Paul.
I was recently diagnosed with porphyria, vampire's disease. I'm going through phlebotomies now, and that seems to kind of keep it at bay. Is there anything else I can do with that?
Gosh, I've never heard of that before. Joel, have you?
Okay, yes. You have too much blood, and they have to take blood from you, what, once a month or once a week?
Yes, once a month right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. And, of course, what's happening is you're producing a lot of red blood cells, and this can be caused by actually a lack of certain nutrients, and your body's responding by trying to compensate. And so did you ever have asthma as a kid?
No, I've been fairly healthy, but I mean, I had a lot of surgeries when I was younger, and that's what seemed to set it off.
Okay, what kind of surgeries did you have?
What kind of surgeries, Paul?
Reconstructive surgeries on my face. I crushed it.
Ooh.
Okay. So is this from an accident falling off the roof or something?
Four-wheeler accident.
Four-wheel drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Did you ever have any skin problems? Any eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis?
No, none of that.
Okay. Any bowel problems? Constipation, diarrhea?
No. Just okay. Turned up. I got real sick after surgery, and we thought it was pancreatitis. And 8 years later, after the skin rashes, finally tested for porphyria.
Okay, so now you have skin rashes. Okay, now that's something that's popping up. I asked if you had any skin problems. And were these rashes associated with the surgical site on your face, or was it on your body, or where?
It comes up on my arms, especially my left arm. It's in the sunlight. I get, you know, little bumps on it.
Mm-hmm. Is this on the back of your arms or anywhere?
No, on the front side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Top of them.
Yeah. Okay, now this can actually be an intolerance of certain foods, and this can explain what's going on here, because what can happen is you can have a malabsorption of nutrients, and your bone marrow is trying to respond and makes too many red blood cells in response to this deficiency. Okay? And so what I'd like you to do is make sure you're avoiding all the bad stuff, all the inflammatory stuff. Let's get rid of that. Again, no fried foods, no processed meats or nitrates, nitrites, so oils and gluten. You're hearing this over and over and over. And these inflammatory things result in clogged arteries, cancer, all kinds of malabsorptive disease. And so this is a problem that's very, very common. When you have skin problems and people don't know the connection, you treat them as a skin problem as opposed to being a result of malabsorption of a nutrient. So I've got to get rid of all the bad stuff that causes inflammation. Then what do you weigh, sir?
180.
Okay, 180. Again, then I'd have you take the 90 essential nutrients twice a day, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids. It's the easiest and most economical way to do this. It'd be 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month, a full dose of anything at breakfast and dinner. And I would also get what we call glucogel. Glucogel is the raw materials to support and promote maintenance and repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between the vertebrae, and here it comes, bone matrix. Bone matrix is kind of the rebar of the bone, and you cannot lay down minerals in your bones without this bone matrix. And when you get a sort of a type of osteoporosis, which can come from malabsorption again, this bone matrix begins to fill up the bone marrow cavity that makes platelets and makes red blood cells and white blood cells, and so it begins to put pressure on them. Sometimes they react by just going to sleep and stop making red blood cells, and you get anemic. Sometimes you get excited and you get porphyria or purpura, either one of those, and you get storage of iron in different places in your body that shouldn't be there, or you get bleeding, or you just get too many red blood cells.
Does he have also what is commonly called hemochromatosis? Is that what he has?
That can be kind of what it could be called. Yeah, storage of iron. Absolutely. Very good. George, you're getting pretty good at this.
Well, you're teaching me. I'll be a doctor in no time. Ha.
Well, you don't want to be a doctor. They kill too many people.
That's a lot of school, too.
Yeah.
That is a lot of school.
Yeah.
But, all right. Good luck, Paul.
Okay, so in addition to the two Healthy Brain and Heart Packs, again, I would go ahead and make sure you take what we call the Immortalium. And this stimulates stem cells. And the stem cells, in this case, would be in your bone marrow and the disc between your vertebrae and the cartilage around your joints. And it's going to help support maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between the vertebrae, and bone matrix in the proper place in the bone wall itself, but also in the bone marrow cavity. And over time, period of maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you should see a happier bone marrow making proper amounts of red blood cells, so you won't have to have and putting the right amount of iron in the right place, so you won't have to have blood taken like the vampire's disease, okay?
Okay, perfect. Good luck, Paul. Appreciate it. All right, this email in. Doc, what do I do about calcification? How do I reverse it?
Okay. Well, calcification, we don't know if he's talking about arteries or kidneys or muscles, but calcification of arteries is very common. And, of course, it can be caused by a magnesium deficiency. And magnesium deficiency is called malignant calcification. And originally doctors thought that it was from too much calcium. But it turns out it's due to a magnesium deficiency, very common. And, of course, it's written up in quite a great deal of detail in the book Rare Earths Men Cures and also in the book Epigenetics, The Death of the Genetic Theory of Disease Transmission. And it's very, very exciting because it can be reversed. It's certainly preventable. And, again, you got to go back to eliminating all the inflammatory stuff, none of the fried foods, processed meats, oils, and gluten. And then we don't know how much this gentleman weighs, so I will say how much by body weight, by 100 pounds of body weight. So per 100 pounds of body weight, he wants to start off with one healthy bone and joint pack, and I would throw in the extra selenium, take three of those per 100 pounds of body weight. And I would also take the what we call Osteomag. Osteomag is actually a magnesium supplement, and I would go ahead and take a couple of those capsules twice a day. That should not cause diarrhea in a 150 to 200-pound guy. But if it does cause diarrhea, just cut it down to one twice a day, and that should stop the problem. But I would not think that two of those Osteomag capsules would cause a problem. But it will give you more magnesium. And the arteries heal slowly because they don't have a lot of blood supply in the walls of the arteries, but it's not unusual for this malignant calcification in the arteries or in the kidneys to slowly go away with a supplement program that supports and promotes healthy blood flow and healthy maintenance repair.
Okay, good for that. Next up, we go to David in North Carolina. Welcome to the program. David, go ahead. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing this evening?
Good.
I've had a question for a while. I've been trying to find an answer to. Haven't found a good one yet. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is, if any, between colloidal, ionic, and monoatomic minerals, monoatomic being derived from the sea salt. Just trying to find out if there's any much of any difference, or do they have any other health benefits between the different extracts of minerals that exist.
Okay, that's a very good question. And in great detail, again, this is one of the purposes of the book, Rare Earths Forbidden Cures. It talks about the different solutions and colloid suspensions and these atomic size particles and things in great detail in this book. This book came out in 1994, and it's an extremely popular book because these are very common questions, because people, as they're beginning to self-educate on nutrition, these are the questions that come up. Well, basically, when you get these subatomic particles, we're talking about extremely small size. We're talking about angstrom unit sizes, very, very tiny, which aids absorption from the intestines into the bloodstream, also through the cell wall. So it's very, very important to have small particle size, particularly mineral supplements, but also anything else you want to absorb. Then when you have a solution, well, let's say you take, of course, salt water is very popular from the Dead Sea and from the Great Salt Lake and from the ocean, and it's a source of trace minerals and many other minerals in the seawater. But let's look at a solution. You can only have 985 milligrams of the sodium chloride, the salt, and these other minerals that are in seawater and from the Great Salt Lake per quart. 985 milligrams. But a colloid is a suspension. It is not in a solution, like a solution of salt water. And you can get 36,000 milligrams per quart. 36,000 instead of 985. We're talking about 36 times the amount of minerals in that quart. 36 times, okay, more minerals in a quart of colloids than a quart of solution of minerals. So that in itself is very, very useful. But also, colloids are all the same charge, and it's the opposite charge of the wall of the intestine. And so it attracts these minerals, and so it also contributes to increased absorptions. And also, a colloid is absorbed, as a result, is absorbed much more efficiently. So you get up to 98%. We can say legally that it's up to 98% absorbable. Whereas these inorganic minerals you find in a solution, like seawater and Great Salt Lake water, are only 3 to 4% absorbable. Huge difference. So great question.
Doc, muscle twitches, tingling pain, cramps. That email from Nancy, what does she do?
Okay, well, she has severe mineral deficiencies. Okay, the tingling in the hands and feet, these can be peripheral neuropathies caused by degenerative disc disease. The vertebrae get closer together, smash the roots of the spinal nerves that go down into the arms and down into the feet. I had a problem like this when I was 4 years old, George. I had cramps in my face, eyelid twitches, that sort of thing, which would be called Tourette syndrome today. And by the time I was 9 years old, I was disabled, and all my church buddies thought that I was possessed by the devil because I was blinking like a pig and had these facial twitches and cramps, and this is very classic for Tourette syndrome. And I began to eat the alfalfa pellets we were feeding calves, little baby cows, and I began to eat, to make a long story short, I began to eat the calf pellets because doctors weren't helping me, and in 3 days' time, I cured myself by taking these supplements we were feeding the animals. And I figured out what minerals were missing and so forth, and was able to totally get rid of my problem in 3 days just by supplementing with alfalfa pellets that were enriched with vitamins and minerals designed to feed calves.
That's fantastic.
Now, Wild?
Did it yourself.
Yeah. Huh. And this is when I started taking the 90 cents of nutrients twice a day when I was 9 years old as a result of that. And so I really think that the good Lord had his hand in this because no 9-year-old figured this out without the help of the Lord. Okay.
Let's go out to Wilfred in Canada now. Hey, Wilfred, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Doctor, I'm trying to basically reverse a malabsorption problem. Two cancers, lymphoma, and leukemia, oncoming leukemia. They took out 1/3 of my bowel, the appendix, and the gallbladder. I'm 58 years old.
Okay, what did they tell you that they took out your... Did they give it a name? Did they say something like Crohn's disease or gluten intolerance? Or what did they say?
Well, they said it was... cancer. What do they call it?
Colon cancer?
No.
Melanoma?
No, sorry, lymphoma cancer.
Oh, lymphoma?
Lymphoma?
Yeah.
Okay, so they said lymphoma had involved your intestines and your appendix.
Yeah, there was a bowel obstruction. They tested it, and they said it's positive for this lymphoma cancer.
Okay, now, so, how long ago was that?
2012. They did the operation 2013.
Okay, and where are you now? And I'm assuming they've treated you. And so
they did three rounds of chemo, and then they had to stop because it was killing me. Like apparently my bone marrow is eventually going to, I don't know the technical term, but basically they said it's an oncoming leukemia.
Sure.
It's starting
to... Well, that's usually caused by the treatment for lymphoma.
Okay, well...
So now I have to ask you, are you in remission now? Do you have any active cancer right now?
No, for a few years or a couple of years.
Okay.
Or since.
So you've been in remission for a couple of years now.
Right.
Okay, now that's a good thing, but on the other hand, it may have been a misdiagnosis and you did not have cancer. You did not have a lymphoma of the bowel. You could have had just Crohn's disease.
Okay,
Have you ever heard of Crohn's disease?
I've heard of it.
Okay, because they took out your appendix, they took out your bowel,
the gallbladder, yeah.
And
one-third of my bowels, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is a crazy...
Oh, God.
This is a crazy approach to the disease they said you had, and it's not likely that your gallbladder... Your appendix and one-third of your bowels were involved in lymphoma. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, basically I've had diarrhea since about mid-2014.
Okay, now, when you were a kid, did you have asthma as a kid?
No, I grew up on the farm, never had a problem until 2008 when they said I've got this cancer.
When you were a kid, did you have skin problems?
Yeah, so below the knee, a lot of... scaly-ness. There's
dermatitis.
My feet are bloated up, and I've got some nerve damage from the chemo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to go back to the skin problem on your knees.
Almost at the break, Doc. Go ahead.
Okay. So quickly, what I would do is get away from gluten, no wheat, barley, rye, and oats, okay, and stay away from all the other bad foods, and take two of the Healthy Brain and Heart packs per month, full dose hitting twice a day, and call us next time you go to the doctor and you get an assessment where you're at. Call us, let us know what he says. It wouldn't hurt to get a copy of the records, and so you can read to me the pathologist's impressions when he looked at your intestines, your gallbladder, and your appendix under the microscope. I want to see what the pathologist called it, okay, not that your doctor, okay?
Seems like gluten-free comes up a lot, Doc, with you. How come?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe that this young fella had a Crohn's disease rather than colon cancer.
They may have misdiagnosed him.
Yes.
Part of that tragedy of that story I had at mm-hmm. the top of the hour last hour.
Exactly.
Jeez.
It's very common.
How does this happen? How does it happen so often that they misdiagnose or they chop off the wrong leg or something like that?
When they take out the healthy lung, leave the cancerous one.
Yeah. How do they do this?
Well, according to Harvard Medical School in... let's see, it was 1990, and they redid the study in 2014. 52% of surgeons, when they do these sort of operations, are intoxicated on alcohol, street drugs, and prescription drugs. This is why they make so many mistakes.
Going into surgery.
Yes. And so I propose that there should be a law where doctors get a breathalyzer test before they go into surgery.
Like a pilot.
Yeah. And they have to pee in a cup in front of a nurse, and she has a test strip to see if they're on any drugs in their urine. They can't bring the dog's urine there that day to get tested. They got to pee in front of the nurse so she can see or he can see that it's his urine. And, of course, three strikes, he's out. If he gets caught three times, then he should have his license taken away and put in jail.
That's horrible. Absolutely deplorable, Doc. All right. Well, come around, folks. We're going to be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with your final phone calls here. On Coast to Coast. Well, if you're in the greater St. Louis area around June 18th, come to our live stage show event at Lindenwood University. You will enjoy it. Full information at our website at coasttocoastam.com at the highlight reel. Next hour, we're going to talk about your soul. Does it exist? And when we come back in a moment with Doc Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com, we'll take your final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. If you do not get in, if you can't get your question answered, go to criticalhealthnews.com, that hopefully will help you quite a bit. Doc Wallach with us, of course. Where are you traveling to these days, Doc? How did your San Francisco event go?
Oh, went fabulous. It's been a while. It's been maybe 9 months since I was there, just a packed house. And now, tomorrow morning, I'm actually flying to Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah, kind of nibbling around the edges of Washington, D.C., and see if we can save some of the people from the politicians.
Good luck. Hey, when you're at these events, what do people primarily want to know? What do they ask you?
Well, invariably, George, people come there because they have been frustrated by long-time treatments of doctors. You know, people will come to me, they're on 14, 21 different prescription drugs, they're seeing six specialists, and their diseases keep getting worse, and they also start every other year or so, they get another disease they never had before, and they wind up with 18 diseases. And they're coming to me because of my presence on your show, and they're saying, hey, we heard you on George Norrie. Is there any way you can help me? Can you help me? I have all these problems, and the doctors say I have an autoimmune disease. My body's attacking itself. I got genetic diseases. I said, well, first of all, you don't have any genetic diseases. You don't have an autoimmune disease. You have multiple nutritional deficiencies because you have a gluten intolerance. Or you actually have problems, say they have emotional problems, things like depression, manic depression, bipolar disease. Mm-hmm. I had one gal the other day. She was 80 years old, had bipolar for 30 years. She had to go in every couple of months, and she would stay in an asylum for 6 months. They'd treat her, and they release her, and then a couple of months, she's back in for 30 years. And we put her on a program, got her off all the bad foods, the fried foods, the processed meats, all the gluten, the sugar, and we got her on the 90 cents of nutrients appropriate for her body weight, the healthy brain and heart packs, the Synaptive, which is a product that actually helps the two brain cells connect with each other and communicate.
That helps in memory, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For dementia, absolutely. And within 2 weeks, she's off all her medications, and she's acting like she's 40 years old. She remembers everything.
That's great.
And her bipolar is gone after 30 years.
That's amazing. You know, the government just issued another warning about the overuse of antibiotics. I mean, you can't go anywhere, Doc, without seeing warnings from all this stuff.
Well, exactly right. And, of course, this was the original premise of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie audio cassette tape, the CD, and the book, and then the DVD. And these things were in this, communicating tools, and it came out in 1992 because I had to find a way to leverage my time and get this information out of the way. And people were saying, well, like, why are you so rough on doctors? They said, well, they're a protected monopoly. They're self-policing. They have no oversight by no agency. And nobody's checking their billing to see if they're straight and honest. In fact, there was one guy just convicted the other day, a Dr. Roy in Dallas, Texas. He bilked Medicare $350 million.
I saw that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another guy in Detroit. He was put in jail for 175 years because he gave surgery to about, I don't know, 2,000 people that didn't need surgery, so he get paid by Medicare.
How did they get away with that?
Because there's no oversight by anybody. You know, you say, we need to look at your records. You say, well, that's patient doctor privilege. You can't look at it. So nobody's ever looked at nobody, even another doctor's never looked at it. Insurance companies don't look at it. And so they literally get away with murder. And so it's one of those things where people have to begin to say, look, I want a copy of every test you run on me. I'm keeping my own file. And then when you get into a problem, you can get another opinion. You can ask, you know, George Norrie and me.
Well, don't ask me. I'm not the doc. No.
But we can help these people. I guess so many people, George, that have been abused by the doctors. They're being treated for diseases they don't have. They had surgery for diseases they didn't have. They get treated with symptom-relieving drugs for diseases they do have when it's a totally curable disease in a couple of weeks. And so we show them how, by changing their diet, they get on a good supplement program. For instance, there are certain things you can, you know, I can stand on the rooftops and say the cure word. I can cure scurvy with vitamin C. They'll say, well, that's all gone. Well, people who don't eat green leafy vegetables don't get enough vitamin C, they get scurvy. Same thing with pellagra.
Didn't ship pilots and people on ships in the old days realize that?
Millions of sailors.
Yeah.
Scurvy and pellagra and beriberi. And you know, I can say I can cure beriberi with vitamin B1 and thiamine. I can cure pellagra with vitamin B3 because every doctor believes it, knows it, no doubt about it. But what they don't know, what are all the manifestations? What are all the manifestations of beriberi? They haven't never seen it. They have seen it, but they didn't recognize it. And so I ask people all the time, I ask doctors when I go to conventions for doctors continuing medical education, they say, have you ever seen a case of beriberi? And they say, no. I said, well, have you ever seen people with Korsakoff syndrome dementia? Well, yeah, I see that all the time. Well, that's a manifestation of beriberi. So I treat him like beriberi, give him the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. I give him the de-stress capsules, which has thiamine in it. I give him the Synaptive, so the brain cells can communicate with each other. And get him off of sugar, which makes the disease worse. And in 30 to 60 days, it's gone.
What amazes me is that the cures, I shouldn't say the cures, but the treatments that help people are on this planet. The planet knows how to fix things. It's weird.
Well, we've been built that way. The body wants to heal itself. And I can say you can cure night blindness with vitamin A. Okay? You can cure keratosis with vitamin A and so forth. And so there are certain things you can say. But when you can cure rickets with vitamin D, right? But once you get beyond those, even though the academic world knows, for instance, that white muscle disease in cattle is caused by deficiency of selenium, I can't say it will cure the equivalent disease in human beings.
No, you can't.
Even though we know it cures in animals.
In animals.
The equivalent disease in human beings, I can't use the cure word for humans, even though I can use the cure word for animals.
Let's go to Sharon in Tacoma, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hello there, Sharon.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Well, Delta, you said something about the good Lord's hand.
Yes.
He must have been dialing tonight, because I have been trying to get through. I'm a first-time caller, since before you came on board, George, and it's the first time.
That's a long time.
It is a long time, but I've been patient, and finally, Doctor, what do you think you can do to help me with AFib and congestive heart failure?
Okay, well, congestive heart failure is a deficiency, actually, of a single vitamin. And AFib is actually a back problem. Do you have a back problem?
Yes, of course.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
197.
Okay, how tall are you?
5'5".
Okay, so we need to lose about 50, 60 pounds. And here's the deal.
Okay,
here's the deal. Doctors are too willing to get $500,000 from you and your insurance company. You know, they will install defibrillators, okay? Have they done that to you yet?
They've tried to do things in the ER, and I refused, and my doctor said I was wise to refuse.
Good, yeah. They want to install pacemakers and defibrillators. Then they want to do ablations, where they put an electric wire up your arteries into your heart and try to kill portions of your heart muscle to stop the runaway heart, you know, tachycardia, fast heart rate, and the palpitations. And that won't work because it's a back problem. And then they do retroversion, where they electrocute you to death, where they can try and reboot the heart rate and the palpitations. And that doesn't work because it's a back problem. Then they do a heart transplant, and they run up $500,000 for a cardiac procedure when it's a back problem. So what I want you to do at 190 pounds is take two healthy bone and joint packs per month, a full dose of everything twice a day except for the glucagon. I want you to take 15 of those a day, 5 at breakfast, 5 at lunch, 5 at dinner. And the idea is to support maintenance repair of the disc between your vertebrae, particularly the first four vertebrae in your chest, the first four thoracic vertebrae, T3, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and get those discs thicker, and they'll push the vertebrae apart, take the pressure off the roots of those spinal nerves, and the tachycardia and the palpitations go away. Also, because of congestive heart failure, I want you to get the de-stress capsules, take three of those twice a day. And that's going to give you that one vitamin that's missing when you have congestive heart failure. We've known that for 300 years. It was discovered by a Japanese naval surgeon 300 years ago. And then, let's see here. I also would like you to have the Ultimate Daily Classic tablets. Take three of those twice a day. That'll be two bottles a month. Stay away from all the bad foods that actually aggravate this. Fried foods, processed meats, oils, and gluten. Don't forget to stay away from sugar, because a sugar intake, we're talking about honey, molasses, table sugar, juices, and fruit. Stay away from all that stuff because it actually aggravates the deficiency of the vitamin that causes congestive heart failure.
And Doc, explain AFib for people.
Well, AFib is when you get a runaway heart, and you know, you instead of having a pulse of 70, you might have a pulse of 180 or 200, and you just feel awful.
It's like beating like crazy, right?
It's beating like a trip hammer, yeah. And then you get palpitation. You actually feel your heart jumping around in your chest, because it's being stimulated by the roots of these nerves that control all that stuff, being smashed by your vertebrae in your back, because you have degenerative disc disease or bone spurs.
How come when you take slow, deep breaths, it can abruptly stop and go back into a rhythmic pattern?
Because you're giving yourself a self-chiropractic manipulation by doing a slow, deep breath, and your vertebrae will align. You take the pressure off the roots of those nerves.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
It really is. It really is. I think you're absolutely right. And I think some doctors are beginning to realize that.
Yeah, I think so. I think some, because I've been yelling about this, oh gosh, for at least 40 years, George. I've been yelling this for a long
time. Can you die of a heart attack that way? With AFib?
No, nobody's ever died of AFib. But they'll put you on blood thinners and all kinds of stuff. And again, they try to get all these procedures going.
What's the longest that you know of that somebody's heart has been in that kind of state?
Oh, I've had run into people who've been on AFib for 12, 15 years.
I mean where the heart continuously is doing that kind of beating.
Oh, sometimes, you know, they can run that way for a week, and, you know, they go to the emergency room and they give them drugs to slow the heart rate down.
Oh, my God.
And it's really a miserable state, but it's a back problem, not a heart problem. And, again, this comes from nutritional deficiencies, and oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, people have a gluten intolerance, which then reduces the efficiency of absorption of the nutrients, which are required to support and promote maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between the vertebrae in this case. And you get them on a good diet, get rid of the bad stuff, get them on the nutrients to support maintenance repair. Those discs get fatter and thicker and juicier, push the vertebrae apart, and even...
And it goes away.
It goes away. It's that simple.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, good to have you with us. Go ahead, Joseph.
George, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to ask Dr. Wallach. Now, George, you had a caller, I believe, maybe a couple of weeks ago that mentioned cheese being somewhat detrimental to our health and
premature
aging.
Cancer would live in there and everything else. Cheese, yeah, just normal cheese. Doc, what do we know about that?
Well, cheese is one of the best foods you can ever eat.
so you like it?
Oh, yeah, cheese is very good. I want you to think about the Norwegians and the Swiss cheese, right? Norwegians, I want you to think about the French and the Brie cheese and so on. And cheese is a good source of protein. It's not necessarily a good source of minerals, but it's certainly a good source of protein. And if you don't have a milk allergy, I like to eat cheese every day. And I've been doing it for 76 years.
And you eat, what, 100 eggs a day or something like that?
No, I don't eat quite that many. But I do eat anywhere from 12 to 15 eggs a day. I put them in shakes. I have 4 poached eggs for breakfast.
You eat a carton of eggs a day?
Yes.
Wow.
For instance, after we're done here, it'll be, you know, on the West Coast, it'll be midnight when we're done. And we'll go out for steak and eggs. I have another 4 eggs. I had 4 of them for breakfast this morning with a steak. And I'll have 4 more eggs with a steak. So I'll get 8 in today. Because we're traveling, we're driving quite a bit from San Francisco down to Ontario. And I never miss eating my eggs. And I always say a stick of butter a day keeps the doctor away. A pound of meat a day keeps the doctor away. And anybody who does not have a milk allergy and does not eat cheese, you're begging for trouble. Okay, because cheese is one of the greatest sources of protein. And think about it. Why did in the days of the Bible, did everybody have flocks of sheep and cattle?
I don't know.
Milk, for the milk. And
for
how
the
did
milk.
They didn't have ice boxes, so how did they store milk? They made cheese out of it.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Oldest foods. It's one of the oldest foods. In the third world cultures that have 40 times 100 olds we do, they all drink milk, they all eat cheese, they all eat meat, they all eat butter, and they drink blood and all kinds of stuff, yogurt. And they eat all the things that we're not supposed to eat. Their blood cholesterols are 350 to 500. They have 40 times 100 olds we do. They have 100 over 250 of their population. We have 100 per 10,000. They have 40 times 100 as we do, and cheese is one of their and dairy products are one of the primary sources of food.
And you don't think cholesterol can get too high, do you?
No, sir. The higher your cholesterol gets, the sexier you are. You won't need to take Viagra and Cialis because when you have ED, erectile dysfunction, you don't have enough cholesterol. Usually people are on statin drugs to lower their cholesterol. They're eating egg beaters. They're using margarine instead of butter. And guess what? Testosterone, George, is 95% by weight cholesterol. So you get low T if you're getting a cholesterol-restricted diet and on statin drugs lower cholesterol. You get low T, ED, menopause at age 35, adrenal exhaustion, and Alzheimer's disease. You won't even remember there's nobody home.
Huh. Let's go to Gene in New York. Try to squeeze in one or two more questions. Okay. Go ahead, Gene.
Thank you. Retinitis pigmentosa.
Aha.
And another two different people, retinitis pigmentosa and Lyme's disease.
Okay, well, retinitis pigmentosa is kind of a variation on macular degeneration. It's actually the presence of what we would call liver spots and age spots on the back of your hands and your side of your neck and face and so forth in your arms. This is called ceroid lipofuscin. It's a oxidized fat in your skin, but also in the retina, the lining of your eyes. It's just a matter of location when you get retinitis pigmentosa versus macular degeneration, and it's reversible. It's certainly preventable and reversible. I actually have a CD called Seeing is Believing, because I had a bet with an eye doctor who said, you cannot reverse macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa. I said, yes, sir, let's have a wager. And bet him, and he'd have to apologize because he called me a liar in this meeting. And he called me a liar in the meeting, right? So I said, okay, let's have a wager.
In front of everybody.
In front of 300 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I said, give me 12 of your patients that you've diagnosed with macular degeneration or retinitis pigmentosa. They're legally blind 6, 8, 10 years because of your diagnosis. And if I can get half of them to see 20/20 in 90 days, we apologize. If you can get one. So the next day he brought me 27 charts. All these people were legally blind 6, 8, 10 years of macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa. And to make a long story short, in 90 days, all of them could read 20/20. Only two required glasses, and he made me this CD called Seeing is Believing, stood up in a restaurant, apologized to me publicly.
Is he a staunch believer of Dr. Wallach?
Oh, yes. Oh, he has thousands of people using my program for macular degeneration.
Well, good for you. Doc, we're out of time. I want to thank you once again for being on the program, and good luck on your travels.
Well, thank you. You're a blessing, George, everybody, getting this information out to the people of America. I can't thank you enough for helping save America.
Okay, folks, so let me give you the website one more time and the toll-free number where people are there where they can answer some of your questions. They're not doctors there, but they'll help you. CriticalHealthNews.com, CriticalHealthNews.com, and then the toll-free number is 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. When I come back in just a moment, we're going to talk about the soul. A little bit of the paranormal next on Coast to Coast AM.